a song today. I got the joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I've got the joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And yes, I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. I've got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I've got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And yes, I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart.
Hey, good morning, you guys out there. Good morning to everybody that's here with us in person. I want to give a shout out to someone. She'll know who she is, Miss Patty, in Minnesota. She contacted me. It's been some weeks now, and I haven't got back with you yet, but I want to let you know I got your message. You've been on my mind, and I am going to get with you, okay? Y'all got to bear with me. Sometimes when I'm working on these messages and I get a hold of something that is new to me and I really got to dig into it, okay? And it takes some time to do these type of messages, okay? Last week we're still doing that message series, The Nephilim Are Here, okay? This is part three. Last week we were mainly focusing on hybrids. This week we're going to start out with the hybrids. Then we're going to move into UFOs and aliens, which are demons, remember y'all. Okay, so this is the last hybrid that I'm going to bring out from in the Bible. Remember, last week we covered three. It was the goat man, half goat, satyr. And it was the lion-like man, remember, half man, half lion, all of that. And then the other one was Molech, Chemosh, which they worshipped all the time and idol worship, which is that part man, part bull. Both of them look the same when you look them up. So that was three. Here we go with the fourth one. When you look at this picture, and Kennedy kept going, Mama, what is that thing? Well, you got that right, okay? When you look this up, now remember, I didn't really realize these things were in Scripture. Remember, we just thought mythology. We didn't really realize these things were in our Bibles. When you go into your Strong's Concordance, this thing is under 7,700, and it's called a shed. My husband was like, you can't store anything in that. Ha, ha, ha. That's right, you can't. A shed is the same thing as a demon, okay? And it says, apparently a demon, and it was a protecting spirit, especially of a bull colossus. Now, when you get into this and you actually think this thing is going to protect you from something, that's because you're serving Satan, okay? Because our protector is the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? He's our rock. He's our high tower. He's where we run and we're safe. Not no crazy bull-looking man with wings and everything else. So when we read about this thing, it's in Lamassu or Shedu. It is a protective deity with the body of a winged bull, most commonly depicted with a bearded head. Though female-faced Lamassu have also been found. The etymology of the name may suggest that the origin of the Lamassu was a female deity. Okay, remember when we're talking about gods with a little g or deity or anything like that, in our study, it's not the Lord God Almighty. It's not Jesus Christ, okay? This all has to do with the fallen angels who mated with the women, and then you got the Nephilim and all of this whole big bunch of mess, okay? That's the deities, and those are the gods that we're talking about. Remember, they worshiped those fallen angels as gods. And you can imagine, they saw them coming down. They didn't know, and they were, you know, they probably looked holy, and they were worshiping those things. And then those things decided, hey, we're going to mate with the women, and then they really got it stirred up, okay? So the oldest image appears in 3000 B.C. and is thought to have originated in ancient Mesopotamia. Lamassu were carved at the entrances to palaces and temples, and tablets with images of Lamassu were also buried beneath the entrances to houses for protection. and they're often depicted in pairs. You can look up pictures of the ancient Egyptian Babylonian culture, and you see these things, just like they said, in pairs. You know, you can still dig back and see this ancient artifact stuff today. Where this is in our Bible, and I have to tell you, I messed up last week because I gave this scripture, but I wasn't to the shed yet. So now this is the scripture that applies to this thing, okay? Deuteronomy 32:17. They sacrificed unto devils. Remember how I talked about when we would read that? And so I automatically equate, it's got an S on the end. It means it's not talking about Satan. Since it's plural, it must be demons. And I breeze right on past it. And I never stop and hone in on that word and go, what does that mean? Okay, and I always thought they were just invisible. They didn't really see them and that kind of thing. And they made their little idols that they bowed down to. Now we're starting to get a different picture. They were carving and drawing pictures of things that they actually saw that were actually there. Okay. Now, so they sacrificed to these things, and they also did have the little idols of them and stuff, sometimes in their houses, sometimes on high hills or whatever. They were doing it all, okay? So they sacrificed unto devils, not to God, that's a capital G, but to gods, whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Now remember, in the Bible, that's talking about the patriarchs, the fathers that were before them, they didn't fear these things, which meant bow down to them and worship them and reverence them. But now these are new gods, and they are bowing down to them and worshiping them, okay? Making, you know, idols to them and carving them and doing all kinds of stuff. And look at this next picture, because remember, we're talking about hybrids. So we're talking about part human, part animal, and we're trying to get a grip on the fact that it wasn't just mythology like we've been thinking. This is the Sphinx, right? It can be part man. It can also be part woman, because you see both of them when you research this out. And they say, and lion, which that's, you know, crazy looking lion if you ask me. But if you look at other pictures and stuff, you can see where they're getting that from. And I pulled one. This next one just for us to see. And this is called a Sphinx, the Roman copy of Phidias, okay, in 5th century B.C., that's before Christ. The Theban Sphinx with a young man as a sacrifice. They're not having anything fun going on. This thing, if you look at the back foot, it's got his foot held under its claw, under its paw, whatever you want to call that. And then it's fixing to rip into him, okay, because he's a sacrifice. This Roman copy of a figurative detail from the throne of the statue of Zeus at Olympia. Remember, they thought Zeus was over all the gods, okay? And this was something that was at the base of his throne, his statue. Now, look at these next two. And you're going to be familiar with these because I've been talking about these for a while. We have to remember the reason we're talking about these things is because this is what God tried to keep his children away from all the time, idol worship, okay? And the thing is, we haven't really talked about this and brought this out in the churches, so the churches today just are like, that's just old news, that's old stuff, we ain't worried about that. And what got dropped, what Satan's happy about is, this kind of worship is still going on today. And the sad thing is, the church didn't know about it, and so we didn't do a good job stamping it out. So now it's rising up, and it's strong. It might be even stronger than it was back then, and that's what we're trying to drive home with the Nephilim are here. And we're going to get there, y'all. So the first one over there, Horus, remember, he's Tammuz. He's that little demon baby that Nimrod and Semiramis had together, and they say he's Nimrod reincarnated. Okay, then when you look on the right and you see Ra, Ra is the sun god. Now, they both have all kind of different names, and it all gets mixed up. You know, when you got one that's reincarnated, and he's really this one, and then the mom was the wife, and then she was the mother, and then she married the husband. It's just a big mess, okay? Now, remember Donald Marshall down in the cloning centers, okay? He said that he is talking to this thing. All right? Now, that could be like, you could be like, what? I ain't buying that. Okay? He ain't the only one. And I'm going to bring out some more credible testimony as we go along from people that have lost their lives over talking about this kind of stuff and exposing it. And even at the time that we're at, they still don't really like this to be so openly talked about, even though he's talking about it, okay? Now, these things right here, remember, the Egyptians worshipped these because they thought that Pharaoh was God, their God, in the flesh. So whatever Pharaoh sat on the throne, they thought that their God became him, okay? He represented their God in the flesh. And they believed that their God controlled the weather and the sun. So I want to tell y'all what the Lord God thinks about that. In Exodus 10, 21 through 23. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt, 3 days. And not just darkness, y'all, but a darkness that could be felt. That's pretty thick. That's pretty creepy. They saw not one another, neither rose anyone from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. You see that? God made it dark on the Egyptians. He wanted them to let his people go. And then for the Israelites, it was like they still had their light and everything. They went on like, you know, nothing happened. So I would beg to say, which God was it that was controlling the weather? Because it was the Lord God Almighty, okay? And Pharaoh doesn't control anything. None of those gods that they bowed down to did. We're going to get deeper into that in a minute. We're going to talk about DUMS for a second, the deep underground military bases. Because there are floors in those DUMS, okay, that have people with wings, all right? Let's look at this next picture, because they also have some people with multi-legs like octopi and all sorts of stuff, which are hybrids. Remember, that's what we're talking about. And these things, because it's part human, part animal, are crying out on these floors, and they talk and they want out. And in this research, there are two different videos that I pulled on this specific research. They've already been taken down. When I watch something and I know I'm going to speak about it, I take notes, okay? One of them was by James Casbolt. I haven't had a chance to study him out to see if I believe his credibility, okay? He gives his credentials and says who he is and how long he worked in the government and he was working in these kind of projects. The second one is by Sherry Schreiner, and she speaks about regarding the Dulce Base DUM, okay? That's where Phil Snyder talked about, and I have studied him out, and I do believe his testimony. He lost his life for the things he shared, okay? She shared this information from that same base, remember, that he was a geologist on, and they drilled those holes down, and the government knew what was going on, and they didn't tell those guys, and 66 guys lost their life that day in a shootout fight with these aliens, okay, which are demons. So now, she said on the sixth level of that particular DUM is a level that's called Nightmare Hall. And it contains the genetic labs, and this is where the crossbreeding experiments of animals and humans are conducted. People have reportedly seen fish, seals, birds, and mice that are vastly altered from their original creations. There are multi-armed and multi-legged humans, and several cages and vats of humanoid bat-like creatures up to 7 feet tall. 7-foot humans with wings and bat-like features. And I want to tell you something. You know, we just saw that picture of that lady trying to look all glamorous being an octopus, right? And she's not the only one. There's other pictures out there online, too. This is all part of them trying to condition us for what they're getting ready to reveal to us that they've known about for quite some time, okay? Remember, they put their little leaks out here and there to test us and see what we think about stuff. And what I want to tell y'all is that this stuff is real, and we're already in this time. You know, we keep hearing this, as in the days of Noah, as in the days of Noah. And we think it's coming, it's coming. We're getting close. We're there. We're there, y'all. And that's what Luke 17:26, it says, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man." That's second coming, okay? When he comes for the second time, all of this is going to be just like it was back then. And see, we think Noah was just out there building his ark and doing his thing, and everything was calm, cool, and collected. And he was preaching to the people for all that time, and nobody got saved. Nobody cared because nobody else got in that ark but him and his family, right? So he kind of makes me feel good. Because you could look at it like, wow, man, you bombed, right? But, you know, but because nobody else got on the ark. And, I mean, where are we at today here in America? I'm going to tell you something. We got people that have come to church, and you tell them about Jesus Christ, and they'll tell you, well, I'll think about it. I'll let you know. That's where we're at. So, I mean, you got a lot of people standing up here feeling like Noah. I'm telling you that much, at least the ones that are being for real, okay? And because we've got a cold society going on. And to talk about the things like this, where you got half-human people, you know, and stuff in these labs. And we're going to go deeper into this because some of these people sign contracts. Some of them sign a disclosure saying that they will have their brains chemically erased for the time that they're on these jobs so that they don't remember the things that they came in contact with and witnessed. Some of them are paid so nice that they don't care. Okay, there's different ways to get these people to do what you want them to do. And to walk in a place like that and witness that, and these things are talking to you, and you're, you know, looking at, I could only imagine you're looking at this thing, and it's like part human, part something else, and it's telling you, I want out of here. It can talk to you. It can reason. It can think. It's like, you know, it's a mess. And they're already establishing laws. We talked about this with Tom Horn last week. They've written, what was that, that governance plan of 20, called 2025, and on page 35 where it says that humanity has entered a new era because we have new like creations. I forget the exact wording. We got to realize, y'all, they've been passing laws about it. How do you govern this thing? Does it go to jail if it does something bad, or is it just an animal and you let it off the hook? I mean, you know. All right. And let's just remember, this is a refresher scripture for us, y'all. In the book of Jasher, which is not in our Bibles, but it is referenced in our Bible. If God referenced something in our Bible, that was a clue from him telling us, you can look at it, you can read it. It might give you a clue to something that's in your word, all right? If he didn't want you to ever look at it, he would have never had it mentioned in scripture. Okay, so when we look at this and we read what I'm fixing to read, remember, it parallels the book of Enoch. And it parallels our Bible because all of this is merging right at the time that God was fed up with everything and he was getting ready to flood the earth and he was going to cleanse it that first time, okay? So Jasher 4:16-18, and it says, "And all the sons of men departed from the ways of the Lord in those days." See, that's where we're at now. "And they multiplied on the face of the earth with sons and daughters, and they taught one another their evil practices, and they continued sinning against the Lord. And every man made unto himself a god, and they robbed and plundered every man his neighbor as well as his relative. And they corrupted the earth, and the earth was filled with violence. And their judges and rulers went to the daughters of men and took their wives by force from their husbands, according to their choice. And the sons of men in those days," this was the part I'm driving at, "took from the cattle of the earth, the beasts of the field, and the fowls of the air, and taught the mixture of animals of one species with the other, in order therewith to provoke the Lord. And God saw the whole earth, and it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its ways upon earth, all men and all animals." And you could say, oh, that was back then. But you know what? I'm sitting here telling you, and it's been documented and proven that in laboratories all around the world, if you don't believe me, look into Tom Horn's research. He'll tell you what science magazines and what articles and whatever to look in. He's researched it out, and it's documented. We have these things created in labs already, and now they're just holding all this stuff, and not even just the honest ones where they tell us about what's in the labs. Now we're getting people to start speaking out about what's in these dumbs. Because, see, they haven't, this hasn't been real, I don't know, on the surface or prevalent knowledge for us about what's going on in the deep underground military bases. I, for one, just learned about those this last year. You know, I mean, I guess I've just been out of it doing my own thing, but I'm going to tell you what, there's bad stuff going on in those dumbs. Now, here we are to Phil Snyder. You guys remember Phil Snyder, okay? He lost his life talking about all of this stuff. And I want to tell you something. He worked in the government. He was a geologist. He worked in a high-level black ops until he discovered the truth that he couldn't keep to himself. And I want to tell you something. When you know all these horrible things and you can keep it to yourself, you're not walking with the Lord. You're not walking with Holy Spirit, okay? So he couldn't keep this to himself. And he gave many speeches and presentations about the truth of what's been going on in this world. And in the government, he said that, and in the military, in the deep underground military bases, he would often bring evidence. He had photographs. He had documents. Remember, his father was in that same line of working in the military and the government. He had his credentials. Remember, he was like a level 3 with NATO. He's been to 70-something countries around the world. And when he started figuring out after he had that shootout with the aliens that what was going on, it was like his conscience got a hold to him. He's like, he can't do it anymore. Okay, then he started trying to wake us up and tell us what was going on. All right. Remember, look at this next picture. And this was, he died in, or was killed in 1996, okay? And this thing he says, or I pulled this picture, please, you can find everything online, that this may be what a gray alien looks like, which is a demon, remember? Every time we've always seen our typical aliens, remember, they have the big eyes, normally they're kind of almond-shaped, and then they come down, they have that smaller chin. But, you know, you can find all different kinds that people have put online and stuff. And the thing was, he called them gray aliens. We know them now. They're demons, okay? He did finally get around to, I think, towards the end. He was calling them evil entities and demons and things like that. But for a while, he was calling them gray aliens, and it's because, or grays. That's because that's what the government, they classified them, okay? You know, you want to think that the government's not involved in this? They gave these things classifications because they're dealing with different types. So he was calling the ones that he was dealing with grays, okay? Now, they are working in the government and making decisions and giving orders in UN meetings and in our government. Remember, he walked into that deep underground military base, into that conference room where they were going into a meeting, and he said he sat down, and he said they were there too, and he said, could not believe they were the ones running the meeting and calling the shots. Not the government, not the people that we think, it was them. That's what we got to get our minds around, okay? He talked about New World Order. He tried to warn us about that so much. He said he'd witnessed those trains with the shackles on them. And he talked openly about this stuff. You can find him online, okay, all of his stuff. And they, anyway, about the New World Order and their plan to bring that about. And he talked about how they were planning to enslave and kill the general population. Remember, they printed documents that shows, there's a website, I think it's called Deagle. And it shows like what our population is right now. And then you can look at it in a few years and you can see where they're showing millions of people to be gone. And basically that website, when you follow it and you follow the history of it, they've been showing truth. So who's in charge of that? I think that's been kind of like a mystery who's supposedly behind that website, but it's kind of interesting, y'all. He said in 1909, our government knew about horseshoe ships and gray aliens, which are demons, everywhere. He talked about the atomic bomb testing that we were doing in 1946 out at Bikini Island. Okay, I talked about this in the first message that I gave when I referenced Phil. Now look at this. You see this like UFO. That's what we think of a typical spaceship or UFO, right? But we don't really think about them coming up out of the water. I don't. You think about them flying overhead and the government saying that's a hot air balloon. And then I heard a story they tried to tell somebody it was a hubcap. Please, okay, now, So, okay, he said there was a shallow underwater base there of UFOs. And he said that's why he figured we went over there and bombed so heavily. Now, if y'all ain't putting two and two together yet, the United States is a big terrorist, probably one of the biggest. And if you got something we want, we're just going to go declare war. And we're going to go over there and take it. And we're going to act like, oh, it was war. We came to help you. That's what we do in Nigeria over the oil. That's what we do. I forget what other country in Africa that has diamonds. I mean, whatever it is, we're going to come over there. What was it, 2003, we went over to, I forget if it's Iran or Iraq. I think I talked about it last week. And they went over there and had their little thing. And we just took all those artifacts. All those Egyptian artifacts, and we loaded them up in containers and said, too bad for y'all. Well, what did that have to do with war? That had to do with we wanted that stuff, and we took it. Sure do. Okay, so we're gonna look into this UFO business coming out of the waters, and I'm going to tell y'all something. This was so big and so much to it to have another credible witness who lost his life, who was also in the military, and his father was in the military. Those are the ones who know. These guys that are in the top elite circles, they're the ones that know. When you get a hold of somebody in the top of the government that's going to leak and tell the truth, or you get a hold of somebody that's been in the upper echelon of the military, that's where you're going to find out what's truly going on. Okay? When you're down here like us, I mean, unless the Lord reveals it. Okay? So now I'm going to take you over here. We're going to talk about Hitler for a minute. I know this don't sound like your typical church message, y'all. But Hitler, remember him exploring in Antarctica? Remember how it wasn't any secret that he was looking for the lost city of Atlantis, and he was on his big mission, and the Germans were over there doing all their stuff? Okay, look at this picture. This is just a picture of, you know, down in the bottom of the sea, and you look and you see all these idols and all these gods and all this stuff up under here. And I ran across this in my research because I was looking for something else, and I thought I wanted to bring this out. This was reported in 2014. Russian scientific team has successfully drilled 3,768 meters into the world's largest submerged lake on the continent of Antarctica, believed to be untouched for over 20 million years. Now, remember, I said they fudge the years all the time because who are the people that are paying to have that kind of information? And they always try to disprove the Bible, so they come up with these outlandish time frames. But anyway, so they're saying untouched for 20 million years. States that the underwater video camera discovered the striking image of a golden-like swastika. We're in Antarctica. We're under this lake that hasn't been touched for however long. And you got this swastika up under the lake. And you're like, what? And okay, 20 million years, that's before Hitler, right? So okay, listen to this. They said it was estimated to be no less than 100 meters in height and width. And I just want to throw this out there, because when you think about Hitler and all of his Nazis and his Nazis and his top guys that were surrounding him, like I'm talking about our top government and top military, same thing with Hitler. He wasn't no different. Where do you think we learned our junk? Okay? So here he was with his little top guys surrounding him. And remember, they were all studying and participating in the occult. All right? The swastika with a sword, so the same thing, but with a sword in front of it, is the symbol of the Thule Society. Remember, that's what Madame Blavatsky taught, and she's one of the main people that Hitler studied under. Okay, he was big into the occult, so all of them were. And in the esoteric occult teachings, the Nazis, this is what the Nazis were involved in. And this is where this little symbol that, you know, you think he just got creative and came up with his little symbol out of nowhere? Uh-uh. Okay? According to this report, the discovery of this underwater swastika was made late January, followed immediately, listen to this, this is when you know you're onto some truth, by the ministry ordering the scientists who've been working on this project for the past 20 years, they were ordered into silence. Shut it down. Of course, it's out online. They wasn't too good at being silent about it, or else they just decided to put it out there for us. But look at this next picture. Okay, they're trying to show where there's the layer of the ice up on the top. But then if you punch down underneath that, they're showing where this little lake is over here, this little jelly bean looking thing that they got highlighted, okay? And it says, it is thought that towards the end of the Second World War, the Nazis moved to the South Pole. See, we know this is true because we know Hitler went down there trying to do and whatever, okay? Moved to the South Pole and started constructing a base at Lake Vostok. In 1943, Grand Admiral Karl Dönitz was quoted saying, Germany's submarine fleet is proud that it created an unsailable fortress for the Führer on the other end of the world in Antarctica. So they were down there trying to hole up and set themselves up, okay? Russian interest in Antarctica, particularly Lake Vostok, were heightened after World War II when in 1947, now remember, I keep telling y'all, the 30s and the 40s, all this bad stuff was happening and spinning out in that time frame. And those of you that know your word, that's when Israel became a nation right in there. Okay, 1947, Admiral Richard E. Byrd led 4,000 military troops from the U.S., Britain, and Australia in an invasion of Antarctica called Operation High Jump. Don't we have an operation? We got a name for everything that we do. But who reported to have encountered heavy resistance from Nazi flying saucers and had to call off the invasion. Okay, when we look at this next picture, and see, this is what we got to get our minds around, because we still got people that act like, what, there ain't no aliens. Then you say something about a UFO, what, there ain't no UFO. See, we got all, Satan's done a good job, because you can't even talk about this without people thinking you're crazy, and they'll write you off in a heartbeat. You're a conspiracy theorist, you're, you know, a truther, you're whatever. And but then it's like, and so they're categorizing and lumping you with a label and don't want to believe anything you say. It's like, watch out, because truth is going to bite, and it's going to bite hard. Listen to this. We're talking about this link with these UFOs. And here Phil Snyder said, when we went over there and bombed the Bikini Islands, and I think that was for like 8 or 10 years, we did that. We destroyed that mess. We destroyed that place. And when you look at that, okay, there's UFOs activity involved. You come over here to Hitler, and then these guys can't even get in there. They said there was heavy UFO activity, okay? Remember last week in the research that was saying that when we went over there and shut down that World War II, that the Russians got a hold of more stuff than we did, than the Americans did. We both took our part of the pie, whatever we could get a hold of, and they got more information than we did. And here's the thing. Hitler had a UFO, at least one. And remember, we don't know if he seized it, took it, if it crashed, what the deal was. Remember, those guys were trying to study the technology in that thing and figure out how to recreate it. And they said when they were in there that there was no levers, no wires, no buttons, no nothing that they could even relate to. There was nothing that we have here on Earth. So here we are, according to German naval archives. Months after Germany surrendered to the Allies in April of 1945, the German submarine U-530 arrived at the South Pole from the port of Kiel. Crew members constructed an ice cave and supposedly stored several boxes of the relics from the Third Reich, including Hitler's secret files. It is also rumored that the submarine U-977 delivered elite genetics to Antarctica for DNA cloning purposes. The subs then entered the Argentinian port of Mar del Plata and surrendered to the authorities. Okay, this Operation High Jump with Admiral Byrd, this is part of it. I didn't record the whole thing, you know, where maybe they're going along and they're giving their little report, oh, we got trouble, or we got this, or we got that. I pulled part of his little report. At 1,005 hours, it says, I alter altitude of 14,000 feet. Or 1,400 feet, and execute a sharp left turn to better examine the valley below. They're supposed to be flying over Antarctica, and they found a valley, and he's like, what is this? We're not supposed to be seeing anything green, right? He says it's green with either moss or a type of tight-knit grass. The light here seems different. I cannot see the sun anymore. We make another left turn, and we spot what seems to be a large animal of some kind below us. It appears to be an elephant. And then he says, no. It looks more like a mammoth. This is incredible, yet there it is. Decrease altitude to 1,000 feet and take binoculars to better examine the animal. It is confirmed. It is definitely a mammoth-like animal. Report this to base camp. Okay, I thought that was very interesting. because I've reported on this in the past, and it's going to come up in a couple of messages, that the elite have been using the DNA of extinct animals to bring them back again. And that's a fact. That's documented. That's not hearsay or rumor. Okay? Now, my friend Joy, who the elite used MK Ultra on, remember, that's mind control. That's breaking down your mind and shattering your personality. And they do that through satanic ritual abuse. She remembers, she shared with me. Now remember, they take these people who, and this is like, this is the elite doing this, okay? So if you're born into a family that they're doing this, where your kids, they automatically are sacrificing you into this program, they'll take you around the world and you'll see and know stuff that the rest of us don't. It's like you're kind of like a secret spy, but they have shattered your mind and they're banking on you not being able to recall the things that you've participated in, the stuff that you've witnessed and where you've been, till there's a crack in the system. And praise God for those cracks, because she's got a crack in her system, major, and she's starting to deprogram and come out of this stuff. And she's saved, and Jesus is working to bring all of those splits in her back into the one that he created, okay? And she's been sharing some things with me, and when she shares stuff, I go check it out, you know. Share with me that she said she remembered something about Antarctica having to do with the elite cloning and bringing back Nephilim that were frozen intact. And I just Googled it up, and it's like, well, bam, okay? I haven't followed that all the way out yet, but I want to tell you something. You know, when these people are having these kind of memories, there's something to that. And, I mean, you could say, oh, that person could just be making stuff up and faking you out and whatever. You know what? That's when you trust your Holy Spirit. And you got to know that you know that you know the Lord is speaking through that person. And I'm telling you something. If it's off the least, then you're saying, nah, because I got some people trying to pull some junk on me, and the Holy Spirit don't even bear witness with that mess. And then I have to write to them and say, no, that's not right because of this, this, and this. So, okay, that was interesting, because this stuff about Hitler was rumored to be doing this cloning stuff, be setting up stuff for cloning. Remember, he was all about the Aryan race. All right, and then to find out, you know, she's over here telling me this, and she don't control this website. She don't control the information that's out there or any of that. So, though this article ends, it says, though deliberately obscured by the West today, Nazi German Adolf Hitler was obsessed with New Swabia. They did. They went down there and they staked out an area in the Queen Maud Land area, and they claimed it, and it belongs to Germany. Okay, and that that's what this says right here. He was all obsessed with this, which was the name given to the area of Antarctica located between 20 degrees east, 10 degrees west, whatever, the Queen Maud Land, which he believed would one day be the world capital of his master race, the Aryans. Now, if y'all don't think there's something to this genetics, if y'all don't think there's something to this cloning, if y'all don't think, you know, there's something to what they've been plotting and planning and what's been going on, and see, we just thought, oh, Hitler with his crazy self looking for the lost city of Atlantis, you know, we just think he's off his rocker. He was some militant crazy guy trying to rule the world, and so he got labeled under that tag, and then we just blew him off. And we didn't realize that he had his little thumb on the pulse of a whole lot of evil that's been going on, that we here in the United States said, oh, yeah, we want it. Come over here. We'll employ you. We'll pay high money for it, and we'll back out and let you do whatever you want to. Remember the guy mixing humans with sheep? And Japan was, they were saying, that's wicked, that's not right. And then we said, oh, yeah, we want you over here. And we said, we'll pay him, I think it was $6 million, and we said, and the government will back off, hands off, and let you do your little experiments. Okay, so now we got to remember, we have to think, okay, well, if all that had anything to do with anything, wouldn't they have made a book or a movie or a cartoon or a video game about it? Because isn't that what they do? Here we go, y'all. Look at this picture. When I pulled this up, and all I was doing was like, okay, what about Atlantis? What about the city under the sea and all this kind of stuff? This picture says they dared the most fantastic journey that has ever challenged imagination. And it shows, it says, war gods of the deep. And I want to tell you something. When you look at this, You over here on the right-hand side, all of that, you should think about Egypt, Babylon, Assyria. There's their gods that they would bow down and worship. Remember, we were talking about Chemosh and Molech, but this is supposedly underneath the sea. And look at this crazy monster-looking thing. So you see, right there, they're trying to tell us something, but we thought it was just some crazy sci-fi stuff. Okay? And about that movie, it says the plot concerns the discovery of a lost city beneath the sea off the coast of Cornwall. Price is the captain overseeing a group of sailors who have lived there for more than a century, where the peculiar mix of gases has allowed them to extend their lifespan. When God was delivered... Oh, and I'm going to fix and switch gears and show you something about this. I'm not going to be able to get deep into it this week. Next week, we're going deep down into the waters, y'all, because there's something that the church has been missing about what's going on down in these waters. Okay, and the Bible has plenty to say about it. So with that in mind, when you see that there's this city under the sea and there's these gods that they worshipped, okay, that's fallen angels, Nephilim, you got all of it going on right here in this picture. Well, and you got little people down here trying to be, and they were all of a sudden, there was a way for them to keep breathing, right? So think about this. You think there's no connection to the water, nothing godly, that, you know, we don't need to be concerned about the oceans and the seas and what's going on there or whatever. Yeah, we do. Listen to this. When God was delivering the Israelites from Egypt, we find that the first plague was inflicted on the waters. And that's because Pharaoh and the Egyptian worshipped water gods. Okay? And we missed that. Or I did, okay? Because there's something to that. Remember, the stuff that they drew, the stuff that they worshipped, all the stuff that they did, there's something behind it. So let's go to Exodus 7, 15 through 18. I'm going to read that out so we can get a picture of what was going on with the first thing that God did when he was trying to get his people freed. Exodus 7, 15 through 18. And he's talking to Moses here, okay? He says, "Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning. Lo, he goes out unto the water, and you shall stand by the river's brink. Against he comes," so on the opposite side, "and the rod which was turned to a serpent you will take in your hand, and you shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me unto you, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto you would not hear. Thus says the Lord, in this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will strike with the rod that is in my hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall loathe to drink the water of the river." Okay, that's the first thing that God went against. He took out that water supply. Look at this picture. Now, this is just, I believe this was in Australia, a college that was doing a reenactment of this, but it gives us a good idea to put in our minds. This was the first thing God went against, was their water. And this was an affront to many of the greatest gods of Egypt. Now, see, I never picked up on the fact that they were worshiping the water. I got it with the frogs and, you know, different things, but I never even clicked that they were worshiping water gods, okay? So now when we start looking into these water gods, and remember, there's the thing with this. When you're thinking about these water gods, you got to remember demons, because that's any god that's not the Lord God Almighty. Demon, okay? So let's find out about these demons that they were worshiping and bowing down to. The great god Num was the guardian of the Nile River. He is usually represented as a human being with a ram's head. There you go, part man and part animal. Nephilim. Happy was the spirit of the Nile and its dynamic essence. Happy was the god of the annual Nile inundation. And look at this next thing. This is supposed to be happy. Epithets of Happy describe him as being the lord of the fishes and birds and marshes. This was one that they were worshiping. The very position of Happy made it certain that he would become successful as a deity. The entire country looked to the Nile as a source of all wealth and provender. And see, God struck that. He took that down. And that the fish died, and he cut off their supply line, okay? So that the deity which presided over it rapidly rose in public estimation. Thus, Hapi quickly became identified with the greater and more outstanding figures in early Egyptian mythology. Remember, we've been finding out there's a lot more truth in mythology than we thought. He thus became a partner with the great original gods who had created the world. And see, that thing I said Donald Marshall says he's talking to? He told me they're telling him that they created us. Now, you want to know what that ties into? That's this alien evolution junk where they say, oh, they've come back to help us evolve, that they created us and all this kind of junk. That's a lie. They didn't create nothing. They tell him that they're Elohim. They're not Elohim. That's the Lord God Almighty. That's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because that's plural with that em on the end of it. It means all three of them in one, okay? So, here he is. And it says, and finally came to be regarded as the maker and molder of everything within the universe. When you read and study this stuff, and there's people out there that are believing this. They're saying that these things created us. You know, this all merges in a new age. No, this thing didn't create us. It says, we find him accredited with the attributes of Nu, or Nu, the primeval water mass. And this, in effect, made him a father of Ra. Remember that Nimrod sun god? Who had emerged from that element. Hapi indeed stood in more immediate relationship to the Egyptians than almost any other god in their pantheon. Without the sun, Egypt would have been plunged into darkness. We just read about that. You remember that thick darkness that they could feel? But without the Nile, every living creature within its borders would assuredly have perished. Okay, one of the greatest gods of Egypt was Osiris, the god of the underworld. And the Egyptians believed the Nile was his bloodstream. You see, God has a sense of humor. We were talking about that earlier, y'all. He's got a sense of humor, because what did he do? You want to call it his bloodstream? I'll turn it into one. Bam! There it was. See, you don't mess with him, y'all. Look at this next picture. This is some ridiculous stuff that they were doing. Egyptian animal worship. We know they worshipped all kinds of animals and stuff, cats and all kinds of stuff. Okay, here we go with crocodiles. And it says, crocodiles were formidable animals of the Nile River. The river was widely used for transportation. Sailors would pray to the god of crocodiles, Sobek. See him right there looking like that mummified-looking thing like you would see in tombs? They would pray to Sobek in hopes that a crocodile wouldn't eat them. Like other highly worshipped animals, crocodiles were mummified when they died. And I never caught on that thing at the bottom that looks like a breadstick or something is a mummified crocodile where they wrapped it up and did all that junk for this animal that died. Please. Okay? So this is, I'm just trying to lay the foundation that they were serving river gods, water gods. They were bowing down to this stuff, okay? Honoring it. And when God brought the 10 plagues against Egypt, he was showing them that he is the sovereign God, and beside him there is no other. And you'll find that, amen, you find that in Exodus 12:12. He says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And here's the part that I really like. He says, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. You see that? He put them in their place because there were 10 plagues. He took out 10 gods and he showed them. That was a witness to his power and his might. And they still were hardened hearted and stubborn and all that kind of stuff, okay? But I want to tell you something. This is something I want to share with y'all because I want y'all to catch on to the moments when God is speaking to you and showing you things, because I know there's people out there who don't really know how to hear his voice still, okay? So I think it was last night or the night before, we had one of Kennedy's cartoons on, one of her Christian cartoons, okay? And I knew I was doing this message, and I don't always share with Kennedy and Scott what's coming up or what I'm doing. And we were sitting there, and they were on the part where Moses was being pulled from the Nile River by Pharaoh's daughter. And she said, the river gods have answered my prayer. You see that? And when she pulled that little baby out of the water, I never knew they were worshiping all these gods and stuff in the river, okay? And I'm going to tell you something. Next week, We're going to go down into the water and we're going to find out what's going on in the water that the church has been missing. Okay? Because there's a lot to do with it. A lot. This last picture right here, I think I talked about the Pope last week and I didn't have that little Dagon god that God smashed down on his face and broke his head off and broke his hands off, remember? That they tried to set up in front of the Ark of the Covenant and God made it bow and tore it up. And I said, it normally has a fish hat on its head. Look at these popes. And you see that little thing in the bottom left corner? That's supposed to be like a representation of Nimrod. And there he is. He was the mighty hunter before the Lord. Remember, rebellious? And he's got that fish. He's wearing a fish. And if you look at those popes' hats, you can see the fish thing still going on today. And this was one of the gods that they were worshiping back in Assyria and Babylon. Okay? I want to tell y'all that there are things in the water. There are spirits. There are demons. There certainly are. Amen. So we can't just dismiss this, what were they bowing down to this stuff in the water, because we have to click. When somebody's bowing down to something and it's not the Lord God Almighty, it's a demon and there's something to that, okay? Now, and this all goes along with Nephilim and hybrids. In the ocean, in the waters that we haven't been paying attention to. And the earth is like, what, 70% water? Okay? So I want to close out with this, y'all. I'm going to go to Psalm 146 because all these other deities, all these other gods, all this other stuff, you know, that we're having to look into so we can get a grip on what time period we're in right now and what's happening with us. In all of that, all these people mixed up in New Age, and that I'm telling you what, they can't even figure out what's going on. I've got people telling me they've done Hinduism, they've done Buddhism, they've done it all. And then they said, and the Bible don't cut it for me. And, you know, and they're trying to meet the Lord, but they don't want to draw near to him. They just want him to show up. He's not a trick pony. If you know enough to know about his word and you know, you can go fellowship and go to church and learn about him, and you want to blow all that off because you want to sit on your couch at home and you just want him to show up, wow. Why should he? What if everybody had that attitude? I'm not going to do anything for you. Show up in my house and show me you're real. And then that's a typical atheist statement right there, if you want to be honest about it. They always want the proof. They want him to prove himself. And then maybe I'll believe. That ain't the way faith works, y'all. That ain't the way it works. Okay, so Psalm 146, 5 and 6. Happy is he that has the God of Jacob. And just in case y'all don't know, Jacob stands for Israel. Remember, Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord. And then he changed his name to Israel. That's where Israel, the name for Israel, came from today. So happy is he that has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keeps truth forever. We're fixing to go down into the waters, but I want you to know who made those waters, who rules and reigns over those waters. There's nothing, there's no place you can go far enough away from him that he's not there ahead of you, okay? He's the one. He's sovereign. He reigns and rules supreme, okay? And next week, we're going to do some studying on these spirits and demons that are in the water, the Nephilim that are in the water, because we got to get this. There's not just on land where we're at. They're in the water, too. And they'll draw you down in that water if you're not careful. Okay? So you guys, let's go ahead. And I want to tell y'all something real quick before we pray. Because I had somebody asking me about spiritual warfare. And, when I get through with this, that's on my to-do list. I can tell you that much. Because a church needs to learn how to fight in their prayer. And how to get, you know, toe-to-toe and do some damage. We're in a war. Okay? And so it's not a physical war. You got to learn how to fight spiritually. Okay? And so I want to tell y'all guys too, some of you guys that maybe you're praying for deliverance, or we've prayed for deliverance or different things, and maybe you're not seeing it, and you're like, okay, what's the deal? Where's the Lord? Whatever. Okay? I'm going to share some things with y'all from Pastor Erustus, some teaching, some points, because there is also generational curses that you could be dealing with if you're not getting and seeing your deliverance, where you got to go back and deal with some of that stuff, okay? So we're going to talk about that because the church needs to learn how to get freed up from this bondage that America's in big time. Big time. Those pastors, they're a witness to me in India and Africa. They're seeing healings. They're seeing so much stuff. And we're quick to give up. Yeah, I don't see him doing anything for me. I went up there and prayed and left the same way I came. And then you throw in the towel and just say, forget it. And God's like, wow, where's your faith? That's it? You give me one shot? You know what I'm saying? We're quick to do that. Well, show me or forget it. And there's no faith there. Okay? So let's pray, y'all. Dear Heavenly Father, Father, we thank you most of all for Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came here and you walked this earth in the flesh as a man. And you knew what laid ahead of you. You knew you were going to that cross the whole time. And Lord, you left heaven and you put up with us. You had those disciples, and we weren't any better than them, and doing the silly, crazy stuff and the questions, and you'd tell them all the time, where's your faith, you of little faith, and how long have I got to put up with you and be with you? I know you didn't say it like that, Lord, but, you know, and we're not any better than them. And Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for doing what you did, because you're the only one that could do it without any sin and show us that it could be done and put the law to rest. And we thank you for your grace that came from that. But we got so many people that are skating on grace. And they're like, it don't matter. I do what I want to do. It's grace. We're under grace now. Well, I'm going to tell you something. They have forgot about the God that said, obey me. The one that said, obey me. And the ones who do obey me are the ones that I love. I'm going to tell you something. People think they come up there and say a little piddly prayer and that they got saved and there's nothing to it. That's a joke. You didn't get anything if you ain't praying from your heart. If you're not sincere, you're not saved. And Father, I just want to bless your holy name. And Lord, you are holy, 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 and you are worthy of all of our praise. You and you alone are God. You proved it back then, and you're still proving it today. If we would just have a heart, we'd have spiritual eyes and ears to hear and see. And Heavenly Father, I want to ask you to show us the strategies of the enemy and help us to undo them in Jesus' name. And Father, I want to ask you for everybody who's listening who is a true child of yours to release a destroyer anointing on us, the kind that destroys every yoke. And Father, I ask you, the evil deeds that the devil and his minions have perpetrated against the children of God. Father, I ask you to send that sevenfold back upon their own heads in Jesus' name. Those that are working against the kingdom of heaven will receive due recompense in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for placing a wall of fire around us. Father and Lord Jesus, tuck us under your wings. Jerusalem, the Israelites, they may not have wanted to be tucked, but the ones of us who are truly your children, that's exactly where we want to be. Tuck us under your wings and shelter us and love on us. And thank you that you go before us and you go behind us, that the battle's not even ours. You've already fought it and won it, and you've equipped us and you've stripped the devil. If we would just take your authority over him in your name and use the weapons and the armor and the blood that you shed for us, we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, and we already have the victory in Jesus' name. Lord, I want to lift up Terrence to you, and I thank you for the young people that have reached out to this ministry, because it's a blessing to hear from y'all, to know that y'all are searching for the Lord and seeking for him in this world that's pulling y'all away so hot and heavy. Lord, Terrence was someone who the health teacher in school said it was okay to be gay. And he said that he doesn't want to sin against you, Father. And he's asking in faith for help. And Lord, I pray that he's not the only one out there who's searching. Lord, who your Holy Spirit is ministering to and showing that that's not your way. And Lord, I just ask you, Father, to draw the people who are involved in that lifestyle, draw them to the feet of Jesus. love on them and minister to them and show them your way, Father. We're asking for that deliverance to come for those who truly want it, Lord, and to give them back that natural affection for the opposite sex. It's never meant to be two men or two women together, Lord, and we know that. And I thank you that Terrence asked, Father. And I shared some things with him, Lord, and we're trusting you to take it from there. And we're trusting you to minister to him, Lord, and take him up in your arms. And all the others who are bold enough, Lord, to cry out to you and say, help me out of this. It don't matter why you got into it. It don't matter what the reason was. When the Lord starts speaking to your heart, go to him. Say, help me. He's the one who can. Lord, I want to lift up Miss Fina and her family. They are in constant battle, Father. But you've been revealing things about the church that they've been in, Lord, that doesn't please your heart. And if you rise up as someone sitting in the congregation and you let the pastor know something that the Lord said that's not pleasing, there's problems. That pastor's not going to be happy. There's going to be conflict in the church. If that pastor doesn't want to receive what the Lord spoke, and he could speak through someone in the congregation, that's for sure. Lord, I pray that you keep your hand of protection on this family and show them that the things you're revealing to them is rattling the devil and making him mad, and that's okay because it is a fight. And they hated Jesus first, so surely they're going to hate us too. And Lord, I just ask you to send peace into this family. Lord Jesus, you're the Prince of Peace. Send your peace into this family, Lord. And Father, as we're seeing more and more that we're living in the last days, I just ask you, Lord, to just wrap your children up. Just protect us and our children, Lord, going out into this wickedness every day that we're dealing with, Father. Continue, Lord. Loose your angels, Heavenly Father. We thank you for your angels who you've given charge over us. Thank you, Father, that they move at your command. And when we speak in line with your word, those angels go to moving because we have the power and authority to speak your word, and they'll go to work. Father, we thank you for hearing our prayers, and we ask for your blessings and your favor on your children, Lord. We ask for healing. This world needs so much healing in so many different ways, Lord. Heal your broken children. And Lord, we just thank you for all these things. In the precious and holy and mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Hey, you guys, I just want to take a minute to, let's go through how to pray the prayer of salvation, okay? And why? Why do we even need to pray the prayer of salvation, okay? And also, I'm talking to the people also who maybe walked with the Lord and you went away from him and you just kind of left it behind and you haven't really been walking with Jesus anymore. That's what we call backsliders. I'm talking to both the person who wants to be saved for the first time ever and to the person who's a backslider who wants to come back to Jesus, because this ministry does not believe in once saved, always saved. Okay, God does his part and we do our part. It's a team. We work together. All right, so the first thing is, you might say, and I hear this a lot, and even my husband was saying it, to be honest with you, before we got truly saved, I'm a good person. You know, I haven't killed anybody. That's kind of the standard these days. As long as you haven't killed anybody, you're a good person. Really, listen to this. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. All of us have sinned. To be honest with you, because the world is in a fallen state, we all are born into sin, okay? And also for the people that think, but I'm a good person. I'm good. I don't hurt nobody. I do good things. I help people. That person, then there's scripture in Isaiah that says for our righteousness, that's when we're calling ourselves good and we're saying, but we're good. We're good people. Our righteousness is as filthy rags to God. That's that thing that stinks that you're like, ooh, get it out of the house, right? Filthy rags to him. Okay, and he's the standard. He's the judge, Jesus Christ. And so the thing is, if we miss his mark and we don't please him, we're not going to make heaven. So we want to make sure we got our ducks all in a row, right? And if you look at the Ten Commandments,
Now, we're not a legalistic church. We know we're under grace, which is what Jesus Christ brought. But there's people that say, you know, like, I don't need Jesus. I'm doing the Ten Commandments. Well, if you just pull out the simplest one, I'm just going to pull out one. You shall not lie. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, okay? That's what lying is. And if you say, I don't lie, that's a lie. Everybody lies. Little kids come out lying. You say, did you do that? Did you break this? No, not me. Bam. So come on, you know. So here's the thing. We've all broken at least one of the commandments. And in the New Testament, it says if you break one, you broke them all. Because that's the attitude of God. He's like, if you break one, it's just as good as breaking them all. Because that's all it takes to separate you from him as one. Okay, so let's pray that prayer of salvation. It's real easy to do, y'all. You just say, dear Jesus, please forgive me of all my sins. Please come into my heart. I believe you died on that cross for me, and I believe you rose again, and you are seated at God's right hand. Please help me to live for you all the days of my life, and thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, that prayer, you prayed to Jesus in his name. The rest of them, you're going to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Okay? And you'll get all that as you learn and grow in the Spirit. Okay? To see why you needed to pray that prayer of salvation, the scripture on that is Romans 10, 9 and 10. That'll show you about confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart and how to obtain salvation in case you're wondering how come we're doing that, okay? Now, something that you're going to want to do, you want to right off the bat start establishing your relationship with Jesus, okay? And in order to do that, you want to hear his voice, right? You want to hear him. I don't know a person out there that's trying to be a Christian that doesn't want to hear his voice. And how you hear his voice? Read his word. That's his words written down for you and I to read. That's his voice speaking to you without a shadow of a doubt. Okay? Then when you pray, you speak to him. So what's that? That's two-way communication. You're speaking to him. He's speaking to you. Now you've got a relationship going. Okay? And you want to do that every day. Every day, seek him. You seek him by reading his word and praying and letting him know, I want more of you. When you read the Bible, ask him to open your spiritual eyes and your spiritual ears and to give you understanding. And he'll help you understand his word, okay? He wrote it by Holy Spirit, okay? And the next thing that you're going to want to do is get in a good Bible-based church. Now, I'm not pushing any kind of denomination. You just want to find a church that is preaching and teaching the whole Bible, okay? They believe in the Bible, and they believe in Jesus Christ, that he is God and the Son of God, okay? And that it's through him that we have our redemption and our salvation. He's the way, the truth, and the life, okay? And also, I wanted to say that some people think, oh, I just pray for forgiveness one time and I'm done because he died way back when. So now that I asked, it's all already done. No, you need to ask forgiveness and try to make it a habit on a daily basis because we're in these fleshly bodies before we get our glorified bodies. So we battle this flesh daily. So just, you know, when you pray each day at some point during the day, say, Lord, please forgive me for all my sins and go on about your prayer. And he knows you're praying and you're talking to him from your heart. And you talk to him just like you and I would talk, okay? You don't have to have fancy whatever, all right? And ask him to help you grow spiritually. If you want to, let us know that you prayed that prayer. It would be such a blessing to hear your testimony, okay? God bless y'all.